What do we do, right? This is the important part. The microbiome is, of course, the key. We've mentioned all of these functions of the microbiome. You can go back and study these through the recording and once you get the slides and all that. But the microbiome is playing all of these important roles. And remember, we need aspects of the five pillars in order to fix leaky gut, right? You can't do it with any one of these pillars. Foods have to be a really important part. Diversity in your diet is critical, especially adding in things like polyphenols, fiber, the goal being 50 grams a day. We talked about this in one of the modules, and above, prebiotic foods, low to moderate fat intake, especially if your gut is leaky and you're looking at saturated fats, reduce the amount of saturated fats. Omega-3 fatty acids actually reduce endotoxemia. Studies have shown olive oil can reduce endotoxemia. Coconut oil, with its content of saturated fat, dramatically increases endotoxemia, right? So you have to be careful of that. You want to manage that if you're trying to heal your leaky gut. And then, of course, eat real food as much as you can. Stress, big driver of endotoxemia. So meditation, mindfulness, nervous system, brain retraining. Michael's going to run a training and module on that. He's way better at that than I am. So I will leave it at that, that this is something you also have to do. It's a very important and poignant part of healing leaky gut. Lifestyle, right? Getting outside, hiking. Just before doing this, I went on a beautiful 3-mile walk through the forest preserves area here. It's gorgeous here right now because it's like high 50s, low 60s, sun shining, blue sky, leaves are falling. You know, there's so much to engage with in nature, and it's just so beautiful to be outside. Not only is it relaxing and calming for the nervous system, you're gaining amazing exposure to microbes that diversify your microbiome, right? So don't undersell or underestimate the impact of just going outside. It has to be done as part of your leaky gut protocol. Sleep and circadian rhythm, we talked about how important that is, meal hygiene, and then exercise, right? So strength training. After we get off here, since I've already gone out and been active, I got 3 miles in, some steps with my weighted vest. I'm also going to go downstairs in my gym and do some resistance training. Why? Because when your muscles contract, especially against the weight of resistance, you release myokines. And there's some categories of myokines that your muscles release. These are a class of chemicals that your muscles release under stress and under contraction. These myokines actually go and express tight junction proteins and seal up the tight junction proteins. They can reduce inflammation in the gut. Specifically, they can increase the growth of beneficial bacteria, right? So just think about that. That is medicine right there. That's powerful medicine for your gut lining. So you have to add that in as well. Not any one of these has to be done and should be done in isolation. You have to add every one of these components to your daily lifestyle. And then, of course, exposure, pets, dirt, all of that good stuff, minimal antibiotics, minimal sanitization around you, and just try to reduce toxin exposure, whether you have a good air filtering system, a good water filtering system, you know, not bringing as many chemicals into your home, whatever that may look like, that's really important to you as well. And then supplementation, there's a number of target supplementations that can help. We talked about the foundational supplements for gut health that we introduced in the end of the first module. So Megaspore, Megapre, and Tributarin. I think you got a good, there's a webinar that's done that really explains Tributarin. I've talked about Megaspore and Megapre, but just to give you an update here, Megaspore is the only probiotic I'm aware of that has published clinical trials on dramatically reducing endotoxemia in as little as 30 days, right? And it does it through a number of mechanisms. So even without doing anything else within the five pillars, just taking Megaspore alone, you can reduce endotoxemia by 60 to 70% in as little as 30 days. That's what we showed in published human clinical trials that are in a major gastroenterology journal. Megapre, Tributarin, you've got information on this. It maintains low oxygen environment, feeds the goblet cells, strengthens the tight junctions, promotes microbiome diversity, does a lot of underlying beneficial things to the gut, and increases endogenous butyrate production, which is really important. And Megamucosa, sorry, feeds the beneficial bacteria and through the use of polyphenols. The polyphenols feed acromantia. Acromantia upregulates goblet cells and turnover of the mucin layer. It also has these three amino acids that are the mucin building blocks, because you want to continuously build your mucus layer, but you need these three amino acids, L-proline, serine, and cysteine, in order to rebuild the mucosa. And then it also neutralizes toxins because of the presence of IgG in megamucosa. So megamucosa is designed specifically to help that mucosal structure in your gut. If you have leaky gut, you suspect you have leaky gut, megamucosa should be really important part of pillar number five, the supplementation pillar, right? And if you need to add additional IgG, I would highly recommend the Mega IgG 2000. This product has been studied in cases of HIV enteropathy. Remember, I mentioned HIV being a very severe form of leaky gut where the microvilli shrink over time. It's a very aggressive, inflammatory, damaging leaky gut. There's been studies on this being able to support and help even HIV enteropathy and even Crohn's-like inflammatory damage in leaky gut. So all on its own, it has a profound effect. When you combine it with things like tributyrin, the amino acids, the polyphenols, and the megaspore, it becomes a very, very powerful combination for leakiness in the gut. Other supplements to consider: polyphenols. If you're getting it as fruits and vegetables, fantastic. Try to eat about a pound, I said, of berries, variety of berries, blue, blackberries, cherries, and so on. You'll get a good amount of the polyphenols. You'll get about how much you need. But if you want to supplement, using phenolic compounds from things like pomegranate extract has been shown clinically to reduce endotoxemia. You need about 650 milligrams per day of a phenolic extract from something like pomegranate, right? So you can look that up. Zinc carnosine can be very helpful as well. You need 75 milligrams two times a day to meet the clinical dosing to get zinc carnosine to support and help. This can help the repairing of the gut lining and reduce GI inflammation. Zinc, of course, works with the immune system. L-glutamine can be useful as well. It is a fuel for the enterocytes, the lining cells of your gut, but you need about 5 grams a day. Now, some people can be sensitive to this, so try it once or twice. If you get a lot of flushing and a lot of discomfort, you may not be utilizing L-glutamine properly, so it may not be a good fit for you. But if it does work for you, you need about 5 grams a day. Much less than that is not really going to do anything. So make sure you get at least 5 grams a day. Some clinicians I know do 5 grams twice a day of L-glutamine. Remember, immunological responses get completely corrupted in a leaky gut in somebody with dysbiosis. So quercetin can play a really important role here. You can reduce gut inflammation, stabilize immune responses, and thereby strengthen the tight junctions. But you'll need about 500 to 1,000 milligrams of quercetin per day to get that effect, right? And also, N-acetylglucosamine, NAG, can also be really beneficial here by boosting mucin production that can protect and repair the lining of the gut, but you need about 500 to 1,000 milligrams of that as well. You can find different products online that have these ingredients. Some of them will be standalone. Marshmallow root has some studies on it, but I know clinically a lot of friends of mine who are practitioners use it quite a bit. A couple of the studies do support that it is beneficial, especially to kind of soothe some of the inflammation and irritation on the lining of the gut and promote healing. But I like the liquid form of marshmallow root, but 2 to 5 milliliters per day tends to be enough of a high concentration extract of marshmallow root. And then DGL. DGL can be really useful. It's soothing to the lining of the gut, reduces inflammation, and can protect the mucosal layer. You need about 350 milligrams of DGL taken before a meal 3 times per day, right? So this one is taken with meals, but before the meal, 15 to 20, 30 minutes before the meal, if you can swing it. And that brings us to the very end of this. I hope this made sense. What I really, really want you to get out of this, if you go back and watch this again, is really start to understand some of the physiological elements of the barrier system of the gut, what role the microbiome plays in maintaining those barrier systems, and then how endotoxemia, which is a result of leaky gut, how that drives the pathology of various diseases in the system, even things you wouldn't necessarily connect a gut-related dysfunction to, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, neurological inflammation, right? So type 2 diabetes, and so on. But now you've got a lot of tools to understand permeability. I would guess that the vast majority of people watching this who have gut issues or who have health issues probably have intestinal permeability, and there's no harm in pretending like you do, or at least assuming you do, and then doing some of the things we talked about to try to improve that permeability.